Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One of the problems that sometimes happens with us Christians is we sometimes get kind of smug about thinking we know what God means. And we kind of like to let other people know, especially when they don't agree with what we have to say, that we know what God meant by something. I'm not saying that that's just about other people. I've done that a few times in my own life, I'll admit sometimes. We make this assumption that our thinking is God's thinking, and we don't really hear the words. We assume we know the words. There's no greater collection of those kind of stories than we got for today's lesson. These have been misinterpreted and thrown all over the place. First lesson has been used to make women sound lesser than men and people in charge of the... I've heard people argue against environmentalism on the basis of the first lesson in Genesis and the Psalm, which is not what I'm hearing God saying, but we'll get back to that. The second lesson reminds us again of the role of people having their things, and the gospel lesson is the same for divorce. And boy, has that one been twisted and used all over the place. And I think the problem is that we assume we know what God's message is, and we don't hear and listen again. Because I think there's actually something that connects all these lessons together, and it's just probably not what we thought it was going to be. So let me walk you through my thinking. In the first lesson, what's really remarkable to me about this is the fact that Adam names the animals. Now that may not seem like much, but let me give you the context of that. By naming them, he has a relationship with them. In the ancient days, to know someone's name and their title, because they didn't have, you know, cards printed up and messages on Facebook or whatever, to know someone meant you were related to them. You had a connection to them. So when you shared names, when you shook hands, when you accepted someone into your place to eat with you, it meant you had a connection, a bond, a relationship with them. Now we know the animals are not gods. Adam didn't make the animals. But God allows him to have this relationship so that the animals are not just a means to an end, but all of creation is seen as in relationship, connected to the relationship we have with God. Because we're in relationship with God, all that God has made is also something we have a relationship with. The man is put not in charge of them to overrun nature, but to help nature function better. If you think about it, that's what farmers and other people really do. They're not out to abuse the land or the animals. It is to use them for the good of all. And the animals have a place. They're not to be just taken for granted. No relationship is to be taken for granted. I'm going to come back to that one, trust me. So I think the key thing here is that Adam is brought into this relationship not because of what he has done. He hadn't done anything at this point. But because God has gifted him. God has chosen to have this relationship with Adam, and therefore Adam will now have a relationship with all that God has made. It's all interconnected. It's all related to each other, is the wonderful story of Genesis. That's why there are two creation stories in it, and we'll get back to that in a minute, too. Not just one, there are two creation stories in Genesis. This is part of the first one. There's a second one in there, too, as well. So you have this image, then, not so much about domination, but of relationship. And caring for each other, and the role of all that God has made, being a reflection of the relationship that God has with us. And that relationship is not of worthiness. Adam doesn't deserve this. Adam had done nothing at this point. But God chooses to have this relationship with Adam. And that's reflective of all the relationships we're going to get to. In the Bible, that term is used as covenant. We've probably heard that word before, at least I hope it's familiar to you. But do you recognize that a covenant, while being a legal document, is not something that is equal partnership? Covenant does not imply that both parties who are connected to each other are equal. It does not imply that they're unequal. It implies that each party has roles and responsibilities that are gifted to them or charged to them according to what they're capable. So this notion that relationships are 50-50 is not biblical. It's 100% 100%. It's just that God is able to do a lot more and gifts us with a lot more than we are able to be to each other. But what we do to each other is supposed to reflect the relationship, the covenant we have with God. God promises to never break his covenant, and he does not. We do numerous times. That's why we have confession in the back. But God renews and restores us because God upholds His part of the covenant. It's like this. It ain't like this. You know, we don't earn, we don't pull ourselves up to God. God chooses to relate to us knowing who we are and gifting us with more than we will ever earn. It means a little certain amount of humbleness, doesn't it? It's a perspective of awareness and growing sense that it's talking about. A covenant is a living relationship. And we all have enough kind of relationships to know that relationships are not equal. Okay? I'm 64 years old. My relationships have never been equal. Maybe that's fair. Sometimes I've been in a position to offer more, sometimes in a position less. The call of me is to offer what I am able to 100% at that time. And sometimes that means being dependent on others, and sometimes it means others can depend on you. It doesn't mean that there is a power structure going on. And that's one of the things that gets us in trouble with these lessons. We assume we are worthy and therefore have some sort of special power from God that is because of who we are. And that kind of sense of entitlement gets you into trouble as a human being. Rather, the relationship of God is a God of wonder. Why would God choose to entrust us? Doesn't the psalmist reflect that? Who are mortals that God is aware of them? Yet we look at the stars. We recognize how small a place we are in the universe. And yet we have been chosen by God to share this relationship with ourselves, and therefore live out that same kind of relationship as best we are able with each other. Not because we are superior or great or even somewhat near equal to God, but because God has chosen to bless and then bestow on us in this covenant this wondrous love and grace. And what God calls us to do is to try to live like that. And we're not always going to succeed. We're not perfect. We're none of those things. But that doesn't excuse us from trying to see our relationships to each other and creation in light of the relationship we have with God. And that's where I think we get to this divorce thing. You'll notice how Jesus tackles that. He doesn't tackle the issue of divorce per se, but tackles the reason we got in that predicament sometimes. Moses did that because of your hardness of hearts, he told him. Not because that's the way it should be. In a perfect world, all relationships should be good. But they're not. And some relationships fail. And some people are blamed for them. And some people blame themselves for them. When that may not be possible. We may be at that point in the covenant when things have to separate. And people have to start anew. We know that failures happen. But it's not a guilt we can lay on other people. But we're all guilty of it. And notice particularly how Jesus goes about that. He quotes that other creation story. The one that says, in the beginning, God created the male and female. Because you see, the thing about the rib gets misinterpreted too. I left that one out. I mean, the notion of the rib is not that women are inferior to men. It's this notion that Adam realizes, this is a myself essence. This is different than all other creation. This is another person to whom I bind with. Special relationship. And because it comes out of his very essence, it is not in any way inferior or lesser than him. The Bible does not ever say that. It says we were created male and female. That is, we were made in God's image, both of us. And that's how Jesus gets back. He's telling the Pharisees, you're going at it wrong. You're looking for guilt. You're looking to layer people into who's more powerful and who's not. And you're putting the blame. When in actuality, we need to see each other as equally in God's grace and death, if we want to put it down. It's all about not being so smug. It's about seeing this relationship, this covenant that God makes with us. And in order to really, if we really believe that relationship with God, then we are called upon to live that out with each other. We did blessing of animals yesterday. Lynn and Linda can tell you, we blessed an abstinence. We didn't actually have any pets here. We named some pets, you know, people we knew. And the reason we do that is because, and the reason we sang our first hymn, St. Francis Day came up last week. But it's also a reminder to us that we learn a lot about how we relate to each other and the caring for each other. And for a lot of us, including myself, the first kind of relationship I remember relating to was an animal, a dog in my case growing up. And from caring for that dog, I learned a lot of things about life and loyalty and friendship, you know? And that's one reason we celebrate those relationships, because they teach us a little bit about the relationship we have with God. I'm amazed that my dog, and now even my cat, though it's a little more standoffish than dogs have ever been, have this level of trust and care for me. I'm sure I'm far from perfect. I know I'm far from perfect. And yet, we always seem to have this connection to each other. And that connectionship is a reflection of God. So instead of beating each other up, instead of trying to place assignments, instead of having a power structure, these lessons remind us that we don't have to be equal, that there is not a real power structure in the universe. God is God, and we are people, and we're never going to be God, but we are lifted up in this relationship. Now, I'm not going to get into much of what happened in Washington this past week, other than to say this reflection. What stressed me the most was there was a lot of power brokering, a lot of looking at people according to what they could do or not do for you, and putting people into labels and into power structure, rather than listening and hearing and caring for each other. Didn't hear a lot of that going on. And we need more of that, because we're really not like this. To God, we're like this. We're all people dependent on God's grace. And we don't earn it. We don't have to be worried about whether we're worthy of God, or whether we're even worthy of each other. We are blessed to be who we are. And that frees us up to care for each other. Because part of this learning to love the animals is that in learning to love the animals, maybe we might learn to love ourselves and others a little bit better. At least that's the hope. And if we can learn to love those people around us, we might even learn to love our neighbors, strangers, maybe even our enemies, and see them in those same kind of eyes, that those are people blessed by God. That's what I think these lessons are calling us to do. To get out of the smugness that we can judge others and ourselves and we put these criteria, and instead see this wonderful covenant that God never breaks, that he makes with us. Not that we make with God, but God makes with us. But it frees us to care for each other. And if we could just keep practicing that, maybe get a little bit better, maybe we could impress upon people how wonderful God is. Because God... other people see in us a reflection of God. Imperfect, no doubt about it. Relationships fall apart. We all fail. Things happen. Okay? We also have this capacity, because God is at work in us, to show love and care and respect for each other. Not as power brokers or what we can do for each other, but because of what God has already done for us. And I think these lessons break down that moment. Open us to the wonder of what it is to live in covenant. Amen.
Amen.